Oh, man, I'm never going to make that appointment.
Now there's a car that gets you where you want to go.
Your door's ajar. Hurry up. Shut it. Come on. Time's a-wasting.
And gets you there fast.
Here, let me get it for you.
Hey!
The all-new Espresso.
We got really high oil pressure right now, but don't worry about it. That always happens to me. Say, when you get done with your appointment, what do you say we take a little spin around town? Maybe drive through the car wash a couple of times? Ooh, better yet, let's see how long it takes to drive all the way around the state.
A powerful engine created in the hills of Colombia.
Really? I'm not in this big of a hurry.
You know what you could use right now? A good shot of caffeine. Maybe one of the 48-ounce big gulps. Let's stop at this gas mart, okay? Nah, that's going to take too much time. We can just siphon some out of my gas tank at the next stoplight.
Standard features include caffeine, and more caffeine.
Have you ever tried decaf?
Bite your tongue.
Sorry.
With this 65-mile to the Bean Wonder, you'll never be late again.
You know, we're going kind of fast.
Fast? You think this is fast? This is nothing. We're only doing 98. You know, I can get it up to 125 easy. 130 if the wind is right.
The all-new Espresso.
Honest, officer, the car's just had too much coffee. Really?
Mm-hmm. And what have you been drinking?
Come in for a test sip today.
Thanks for returning to Great Speeches and Interviews on Access Sacramento and The Voice. I'm Steve Lerman. If you're just catching up with this broadcast, we're listening to Culture Wars. Authors talk about their books on contemporary cultural issues and respond to questions from the audience.
So once in a while, Karen, the high-profile incident that's blown up by the media can do some good or can focus our attention in a good way.
Oh, absolutely. And I think that is the promise, too. So It's sort of like, do we eat the convenience store processed food that's really easy and, you know, we know how it tastes? Or do we, you know, have the harder to come by but healthier, maybe for us as a society, story about, you know, an injustice that we actually can do something about, or a case that affects the lives of real people in real time? I think it is a challenge to the industry that produces news and news stories. It's a challenge for us too. But there, you know, I think it's really important to note, even though I say we can't blame the media for every social problem that exists, it does have power, and it is important and worthy of our study and examination.
Yeah, and as Eric said, we're all the media now. All of us, because we can get things out. Every single one of us has that ability. So I think on that note, we're going to open it up to questions. If anyone has any questions, there is a mic somewhere back there. Yeah.
We got two volunteers in the back who have mics, so just raise your hand.
Yeah, there are
get
two,
their attention.
Two mics.
Hi. Is
Hello.
This working? Can you hear me?
Yes, yes we can.
Yes. Okay. I was not
I'm
kidding.
I'm sorry, can you stand? Can you stand?
Oh, come on.
Oh, no, sit down. No, I
sit down. Yes.
Yes.
Let me start by saying, and this will be quick, but we have, look, let's face it, we have a revolting culture here, a culture that's actually fed by, nurtured by, and calling forward and rallying a very reactionary polarization. And I'm part of a movement for revolution. As you can see, I'm kind of in favor of certain kinds of polarization. And as the leader of that revolution, Bob Avakian, he said, we need a culture of revolt against the revolting culture. And I think it's extremely important that we start talking about things like that, because too much gets ruled out of order.
Okay.
You know, I've been to many panels this morning alone, and I never thought I would hear so many times the way people's questions are even allowed to be framed is simply within a box of what exists now, the two parties, the electoral system, all of this stuff. I think you're right about Trayvon Martin. And if it hadn't been for his parents standing up and saying, to hell with this, we're not going to stand for this, and other people rallying
Is there
for
a
that.
Question?
Yes,
right.
I do.
Yeah.
But I'm getting to it, right? But the point is this, that we have to actually look at, if you think about when this country had the greatest amount of change, it had the greatest amount of change when there was a movement for revolution and there was a very important, very sharp and clearly well-defined polarization here, a different kind of polarization. The 1960s, mm-hmm. things changed. Abortion
okay.
rights.
All right, thank you. Well, that's not a question. That's a statement.
No.
There are a number of people here who are wanting to ask questions.
Let me get to the question, all right?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Now, the point is, do you think that kind of polarization...
He's asking a question now.
He's asking. Let's hear it.
What the hell is going on here?
Just please ask the question.
Do you think the kind of polarization that we had then is necessary now? Do you think it's needed?
I think part of the problem that we have now is that the social issues that we're juggling are a bit more complex and less black and white than we were juggling in the 60s. In the 60s, when you had segregation, when you had Jim Crow South, when you had blacks who couldn't live in the same neighborhoods as white people, when you had blacks who were barred from major universities, barred from major jobs, barred from voting, those kind of things are very basic and very easy to talk about. I think now we're in a situation where, you know, when you're talking about voter ID laws, they've figured out a way to have that discussion in a way where the decisions aren't as stark.
And it's not explicitly racial.
Explicitly racial. So the conversation has become more subtle. I think in the case of a lot of the gender stuff that you're talking about, some people feel like, wow, didn't we have this conversation already? Didn't we decide this already? And people are just kind of shocked that it's even coming up again because they thought the fight was over and they don't realize that the fight has started again. So in some cases, I think it's that the issues we're talking about are more subtle and more complex. In some cases, I think the people who might be soldiers in this fight haven't realized that the fight has started.
Okay.
Thanks very much. I think it was an excellent panel. I would just like to suggest something and get your feedback on it or your comment on it, that perhaps culture war isn't the best way to frame this, because that sort of suggests to me distinct cultural camps, who knows where they came from and they're meeting on some battleground, whereas it seems that what's going on is very familiar and has been going on a long time, and that's that we have a number of processes of modernization that have been going on for hundreds of years, and you've got elements of society resisting that. And it's conservatism, and especially conservative republicanism, resists modernity and modernization. You're practically saying that when you say what they're defending is tradition,
yeah.
Or when you talk about reactionary politics.
Right, and you know,
Eric used the word modern once, but I think that's sort of missing.
I think that's a very good point. I think a number of us who write about these issues, you know, fall into talking about it under the code word that it's talked about, culture wars. And I do agree with you that this is more about a reaction, what I call a counter-revolution in my book, that is a small minority that is resisting modernization, progressivism, whatever. I do feel like we have a society that the mainstream doesn't want to fight these issues anymore. And I think that's part of the reason why people keep getting caught by surprise that we're still having these debates about race, about gender, about sexuality. And so I do think we need to think of this as not just a backlash, but a kind of a deeper social reaction to what the world has become, and it's not going back to that traditional, so-called traditional way.
Right, and there are new issues. Like we didn't talk about the counter-environmental revolution, the non-belief in climate change and things like that, denying modernity. That's a kind of a new thing, but it's part of the same dynamic.
And I also think one of the things that we're missing is that we had a huge economic meltdown in 2008, 2009, 2010.
We're still feeling the effects, by the way.
Of course, we're still feeling the effects, but I think one of the reasons why we saw the return of this kind of politics is because life had become so uncertain for a great many people. And I think social conservatives saw an opening to say, okay, here's how we get back on track. You know, here's our argument for getting back on track. We go back to this traditional American values, and this will put us back on the right track. And then we had an election that sort of gave us the verdict on that strategy, which was, no, thank you very much. You know, we're not buying it. People who wanted Mitt Romney to win that election spent a good year fostering that idea that our economic instability, that our problems in getting on track in terms of our economy were the result of these permissive attitudes embodied in this Democratic president. And then we had an election that sort of gave us the verdict on that. And now the question is, will we move on to a different conversation?
Or to a different reality, because, you know, I've heard that, you know, the Republicans are pushing the conservative thing. The Democrats are more or less going along with it, afraid of you know, alienating people over these so traditional, you know, issues. It makes you think that there has to be another party or another reality altogether that, you know, needs to happen.
You can listen to great speeches and interviews on accesssacramento.org, or you can go to greatspeechesandinterviews.blogspot.com.
And where the chilly winds don't blow. feed me on a cornbread and a meat. Oh, the shark, babe, has such teeth, dear, and it shows them pearly white. Just a jackknife has old Maggie, babe, and it keeps it out of sight. You know when that shark bites with his teeth, babe, scarlet billows start to spread. Fancy gloves, though, wears old Maggie Heath, babe, so there's never, never a trace of red. Now on the sidewalk, ooh, Sunday morning, lies a body just oozing life. And someone sneaking round a corner, could that someone be Mac the Knife? There's a tugboat down by the river, don't you know, where a cement bag just drooping on down. Oh, that cement is just, it's there for the weight, dear. Five will get you 10, old Mackey's back in town. Not to hear about Louis Miller, he disappeared, babe, after drawing out all his hard-earned cash. And now Maggie Heath's been just like a sailor. Could it be our boy's done something rash? Yes, who can tawdry? Who is Lottie Lenya? And Lucy Brown? Oh, the line forms on the right, babe. Now that Maggie's back in town. I said, Jenny Diver. Whoa, Suki Tawdry. Look out to Miss Lottie Lenya and old Lucy Brown. Yes, that line forms on the right, babe. Not that Maggie's back in town.
Feeling so lonely, I'm crazy, crazy for feeling so blue. I knew that you loved me as long as you wanted. And then someday you'd leave me for somebody new. Worry, why do I let myself worry? Wondering what in the world did I do? I'm crazy for thinking that my love could hold you. I'm crazy for trying and crazy for crying, and I'm crazy for loving you. I'm crazy for thinking that my love could hold you. I'm crazy for trying and crazy for crying, and I'm crazy for loving you.
Thank you. dreamed I saw Joe Hill last night, alive as you or me. Says I, but Joe, you're 10 years dead. I never died, said he. I never died. Copper bosses killed you, Joe. They shot you, Joe, says I. Takes more than guns to kill a man, says Joe. I didn't die, says Joe. I didn't die. And stand
again for Radio's Theatre of the Wine.
Again?
Today featuring the Shakespeare classic, Julius Caesar.
Oh, we just did Shakespeare!
And Julius Caesar. Oh, God, I hate wearing a toga.
Shakespeare's so boring.
Oh, yeah.
Can't we do a Neil Simon play?
Look, it's Shakespeare or nothing, all right?
What about Romeo and Juliet, then?
Oh, that's been done to death!
If all you're going to do is complain, just forget about it. Get off the stage.
But theater is my life!
I can't hold a real job. I've got a bad back.
Can I go now?
Go, all of you, go. This has been Radio's Theater of the Wine.
You know, it is so hot on this stage. Can we just turn out those big, bright lights?
Now that is not a problem.
Oh, now it's too dark.
Yes, it's a shame, isn't it? Radio's Theater of the Wine, a sniveling thespian production.
That's all, folks.